Please turn in your Bibles to the book of First Chronicles, chapter 4. The book of First Chronicles, you have the books of Samuel, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and then you have 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. And I'll read verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, and that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. These books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles were written by Ezra, who wrote the book of Ezra that's named after him. Ezra was a scribe, and he lived during the time of the return of the Jewish people from the Babylonian captivity after their 70 years in Babylon. He was a man who studied very carefully the Old Testament scriptures. We read of him in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. "Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and his ordinances in Israel." And as part of Ezra's diligent study of the Old Testament scriptures, we have these books. And here we have in these first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles, these long genealogies of the Jewish people. The captivity had tossed the nation into much confusion. There was danger that they would lose the distinctions that existed among their tribes. And so the genealogies that Ezra records here were of great benefit to them when they returned from Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem, its temple, and to reestablish God's worship there. In this chapter, Ezra records the genealogy of the tribe of Judah, which was most important because back in the book of Genesis, it was predicted that the Savior, the Messiah, would come from this tribe. We might think at times that this is tedious reading through all these genealogies of the Old Testament, so many names foreign to us and such long chapters of genealogy. But all the scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for our teaching, reproof, correction, and training of righteousness. And in the midst of these long genealogies, at various points, the Lord gives us these little gems of historical records, biographical accounts, which are not found in any other place in the scripture. And that's what he does here in verses 9 and 10. He speaks of this man named Jabez. There are about 500 names mentioned in these genealogies. Almost all of them are passed over very quickly. We're not told anything of their lives. But here we have this man Jabez, and nowhere else in the Bible is he mentioned except in these two verses, and he must have been a most remarkable man because the Holy Spirit chose to interrupt these genealogies and to tell us a short account of his life and what he did. This is the subject of our sermon this morning, Jabez, his life, his character, and his prayers. The first thing we want to see this morning is his birth and the reason for his name. We see this at the end of verse 9, where we are told that his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." And so his name Jabez meant pain or sorrow, and so his mother gave him this name Jabez because she bore him in such pain and sorrow. All children are born into this world with pain and sorrow of their mother, It is part of God's curse on the world, as God said to Eve back after the fall in Genesis 3 and verse 16. He said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. But the pain, the sorrow of childbirth is quickly forgotten because of the joy of the child that is born, as Jesus said in John 16, verse 21, whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers her anguish no more, for joy that a child has been born into the world. But here it seems that Jabez's mother, she had extraordinary pain and sorrow, so that she named her son Jabez pain or sorrow, so that she would always remember what she had experienced at his birth. And so perhaps she would also remember to give thanksgiving to God for preserving her through such a trial in her life. Some think that she was like Jacob's wife, Rachel, back in Genesis 35, who gave birth to a son, and her labor was so severe that she died. We read in Genesis 35, it came about, in regard to Rachel, it came about as her soul was departing that she named him Benoni, which means son of sorrow. And so some say that this is what happened with Jabez's mother here, that during childbirth, her soul was departing, and so she named him sorrow or pain. According to the Jewish custom, at that time an infant boy was given his name at his circumcision on the eighth day. And it seems that this is what happened here with Jabez's mother, because she seems to be looking back on her giving birth to him, and perhaps at his circumcision, that he was given this name Jabez. A name among the ancient Jews was of great significance. It conveyed something of the person, who that person was, and his character. Eve, the name, means mother of all the living. The name Abraham meant father of many nations. Israel meant he who strives with God, and Solomon meant peaceful. And so it was here with Jabez that his name had significance. It was the name that meant pain and sorrow. In those days, they did not have modern medical technology. They did not have an ultrasound to see what was taking place with the child in the womb at birth. They had no C-sections. They had no medications or other procedures to help in the complications of birth. One commentator says that it is possible that Jabez bore physical scars, perhaps a withered limb or a hunchback that he carried the rest of the days of his life. However it happened, this was the name that Jabez grew up with. Jabez meaning pain and sorrow. And so every time that someone spoke his name, it was a reminder that we live in a painful world under a curse. And we do not need to seek after sorrow and pain. It comes to us even from the time of birth. And so perhaps this name, sorrow, pain, that he had, put a serious nature upon his spirit, and the Lord used that throughout his life. Our second thing we want to consider here this morning is the good and noble character of Jabez. And we see this in the beginning of verse 9, where we read, and Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. The word honorable means that he was highly esteemed. He was greatly respected. He was admired. It was a description that was given to one who was known for a good and righteous life. And that's what Jabez was. He had proved himself to be a man of noble and excellent character by the life that he lived. In the Bible, to be called honorable means, of course, that he was a man of faith and he believed in the Lord. He was a good and righteous man because of the grace of God that was at work in him. It was not that Jabez made himself honorable by his own strength and abilities. It was that Jabez was made honorable. Jabez was made good and a man who walked in God's way by the grace of God that was at work in him. Jabez was like any other man. He was born with a sinful nature, but in salvation the Lord changed him and made him into a good man, into a righteous man, into a man who was honorable. And then we're told that he was more honorable than his brothers, which means that he distinguished himself and he set himself apart from his brothers and from other men at his time of life. He did not live by the standards of other men. He was willing to stand apart from him that he might do what was good and right in the sight of God. His brothers at times would do certain things, but Jabez, he would not consent to go along with them. He was more honorable than his brothers. Jabez lived at a time when the nation of Israel had entered into the land of Canaan, and they had not yet completely conquered the land, and there were still Canaanites in the land when he was there. And you remember what God had told his people often in the early books of the Bible, that when they entered the land of Canaan, he said, "You shall not follow the customs of the nations. Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled." He said, "You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, so as not to defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. Be holy as I am holy. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." That was God's command when they entered the land of Canaan. They were to be different from the nations that they were conquering. But we know from the history of the nation of Israel how often the people of Israel fell into and followed the sinful practices of the other nations. But what Ezra is telling us here is that even though others around Jabez, even his own brothers, would fall into these sins, Jabez did not do so. Jabez stood apart as different. He was more honorable than his brothers, and his great concern was to walk carefully in the laws of God. It speaks of his brothers. He was more honorable than his brothers. His brothers were the closest people to him, his closest relations, the members of his own family, and surely Jabez would have felt the pressure as they did things that were not proper. We often talk about peer pressure, as if peer pressure is something that belongs to teenagers only. Peer pressure belongs to adults as well. And that's what we see in the world all around us. And that's what we see in the church today as well. Peer pressure. Doing what everybody else is doing, saying what everybody else is saying. If they have this thing, we must have it too. The easiest thing in the world is simply to go with the flow and do what everybody else is doing. But Jabez, he did not do so. He was distinguished. He was more honorable than his brothers. And he lived out what Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You remember when Nebuchadnezzar set up the golden idol and all the people bowed down, including many Jews, no doubt, who were in that land at the time. But not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to consent to the crowd around them. And that's what Jabez was doing. He was more honorable than his brothers, and so we see his good character. But the most honorable part of his life, it seems, was his prayer life. And that brings us to our next point, which is Jabez was a praying man. And we're told about this in verse 10. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted what he requested. We should not think of this as a one-time prayer of Jabez, but this was really a continuing prayer. It may be that this was the pattern of prayer of Jabez's life, like the Lord's Prayer is given to us as a pattern of our prayers throughout all of life. And what we have here recorded for us is a pattern of the prayers of Jabez throughout all his life. He began his life as a young man. He was setting off into the world. He knew that he needed blessing upon his life, and he knew who he needed to cry to for that blessing. And so he began to cry to the God of Israel in heaven. He did not cry to the idols, the gods of the Canaanites in that land where he was living. Any of the false gods of the land, he knew the true and living God was the God of the Old Testament, the God of Israel, the God who had created the heavens and the earth in the beginning, the God who had made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to bring them into the land of promise. And even though they were 400 years in slavery in Egypt, God came and rescued them out of that slavery and brought them through the Red Sea on dry land, 40 years in the wilderness, with manna and water in supernatural miracles. And then God finally brought them into the land of Canaan. He fulfilled his promise to them. He was a God of faithfulness. He was a God of great power. He was a God of great love who loved his people. And Jabez needed blessing in his life. He needed protection. He needed guidance. And he knew to whom he could go for these things. And he believed that this God would answer his prayer. And so Jabez began to call upon the God of Israel. There were four things that Jabez prayed for here. And the first is for God's blessing. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. So the question here is, what is the blessing primarily that Jabez asked for? We must interpret the blessing according to the Word of God. And we can turn in our Bibles here to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, because we find the same word used here in regard to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, I'll read the first three verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, he says, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. Your name shall be equivalent with a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So the Lord speaks repeatedly here of his blessing. He promises Abraham in verse 2, I will bless you. And then he promises blessing upon all who bless and know Abraham. And then at the end of verse 3, he says, in you, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, God's blessing upon men in this world always includes, it does include, earthly and temporal blessings of this life. James tells us that every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Jesus told us that he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and by prayer. So every good thing which any man or woman receives in this life is a blessing that is sent to him from God. And it is good, it is right, it is necessary even for us to pray for earthly blessings. And they are blessings. They are indeed blessings upon us, so long as they are used according to the word of God, and according to his will, and for his glory, and they are not spent on our own selfish pleasures. They are blessings in that way. But the highest blessing, the greatest blessing that God can give to any man or woman in this world, is his blessings of salvation through Jesus Christ. And those are the blessings that God speaks here to Abraham about, that he will have a son, and through his son a great nation would come, and out of that great nation would come a Savior, and through the Savior there would be blessings of salvation upon all the nations of the earth. In the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verse 24, Peter quotes the promise given here at the end of verse 3, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And then Peter interprets that as being fulfilled in Christ, and he says, for you first, God raised up his servant, Jesus, and sent him to bless you. Sent him to bless you. And how? How does he bless? Peter says, by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. That's the blessing of Christ in the gospel. Paul quotes this passage as well in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, and he says this, the scripture, referring to this passage, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, and all the nations shall be blessed in you. So that's what's going on here in these opening verses, in these words to Abraham, is God is preaching the blessings of the gospel through Jesus Christ to Abraham. Spiritual blessings. We can turn to one passage in the New Testament, which is Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. And we read verse 3. And Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he speaks of the blessings that have come to us who are believers in Jesus, every spiritual blessing that has come to us through the salvation of our Lord Jesus. And then what he does in the rest of the chapter is he goes on here to speak of all of these various spiritual blessings from the heavenly places. Election unto holiness, adoption into God's family as sons and daughters, our redemption through the blood of Christ and the forgiveness of our sins, and eternal life and the inheritance that is ours in the world to come and the gift of the Holy Spirit as a pledge, a guarantee of these things to come, all of these spiritual blessings come upon believers in salvation. And then we see him down in verse 18, in the beginning of verse 18, now Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And so what Paul does in this chapter is he goes down through the various blessings that are given to God's people in salvation. And then he says in verse 18, I am going to pray that your eyes would be open to see how great these blessings are. And that's really what Jabez was praying for when he said that he asked the Lord, oh, that you would bless me indeed, that you would bless me with the spiritual blessings of the gospel and salvation, and that you would open my eyes to see these wonderful blessings. We can turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And Jabez prays. His first request is, oh, that thou would bless me. And notice that little word, indeed. That thou would bless me indeed. Meaning that you would bless me truly. That you would bless me with your highest, your richest, and your greatest blessings. That you would bless me truly with the salvation that is coming with real, eternal, and lasting blessings. What he is praying for here is that you would bless me in all the ways of salvation. That you would give me grace from heaven to walk in all of your ways. That I might truly be an honorable man. He was not an honorable man by his own nature. He was an honorable man by the blessing of the Lord upon him. This is how he became that honorable man, because he cried out to God in heaven that he would truly bless him with spiritual blessings and give him grace and strength to walk in God's ways. It is God's blessing that makes a man good and honorable. Read the book of Psalms, and the very first psalm is, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 32 and verse 1. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile or deceit. That's the man that is blessed in the Bible, is the man who knows the grace of God in salvation. And that's what Jabez is praying for here. Lord, bless me indeed with these spiritual blessings out of heaven. Jesus taught us to pray for earthly things, for physical needs that we have. He taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our earthly blessings according to your will. But then he also taught us that our priority is in regard to the spiritual blessings of his kingdom. And Jesus went on to say, do not be anxious for the things of the world. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So we can pray this prayer with Jabez. And we can include earthly blessings in our request. But we must say, Lord, whatever earthly blessings you may choose to give me, do not forget to give me your greatest blessings of all. and show me your great salvation through our Lord Jesus, and help me to be an honorable man, a good and righteous man or woman in the way that I live my life. That's what Jabez was ultimately praying for here. For solid, irreversible, eternal blessings of the kingdom of heaven. The second thing Jabez prays for was for growth, that the Lord would enlarge his border or his land. He says there in verse 10, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my border." Now, if we turn back to the second chapter of 1 Chronicles and verse 55, we see that there was a town that was named Jabez. In verse 55, "And the families of scribes who lived at Jabez." And it may well be that this town was named after this man Jabez. It seems to be a town where there were families of scribes there, and so many believe that Jabez was one of those scribes. So there was a town named Jabez. We turn back to chapter 4 and verse 10. And so when Jabez says there, when he makes that second request, "Enlarge my border," his request had to do with the removal of the Canaanites who were still living in the land at that time. And the Lord had promised to drive out the Canaanites from the land. So Jabez's concern here is in regard to the promise of God to his people. Jabez's concern here is for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God, that God's kingdom would expand according to his promise and fulfill the land. "Lord, extend my border, enlarge your kingdom in this land, and fulfill your word by driving out the Canaanites who remain." That's what he's asking for. We pray for the same thing today when we pray for the extension of the kingdom of God in the earth. We pray for other churches. We pray for sinners to be saved from every tribe, tongue, and people. We say, "Lord Jesus, send your gospel to the ends of the earth and extend the borders of your kingdom and fulfill your word and glorify your name." So what we have here in this second request is really something similar, very similar to what we have in the Lord's Prayer, in the first and second petition. "Hallowed be your name. Glorify your name, my Father in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom be enlarged. Thy kingdom be extended according to your promises." The third request that Jabez makes here is for guidance, that the Lord would be with him in all that he does. He says, "Oh, that thy hand," he says, "thy hand might be with me." Thy hand means thy presence be with me. In all the ways that God's presence goes with his people. "Thy hand of guidance in providence be with me. As I do your will, thy hand of protection, thy hand of power, thy hand of wisdom." So Jabez here, he is praying for the presence of God to go with him in everything that he does. It's the same thing that Moses prayed for in Exodus 33, verse 17. Moses said, "If thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here." We cannot go forward without thy presence. And that's what Jabez was praying here. "Thy hand would be with me." This is what we find in the book of Genesis with Joseph, that the Lord was with him, and so he prospered in everything that he did. We find the same thing with Joshua, that the Lord promised him, "I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." Jesus promised the same thing to his disciples. He said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will be present with you." He said in Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we can do nothing of ourselves. And in every endeavor, at all times in life, we must not be off on our own thing doing something without the Lord. We need His hand of guidance, protection, and help in everything that we do. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. The Lord said to His people, "Do not fear, for I am with you. My hand is with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And that's what Jabez is praying for here in this third petition, that thy hand of providence, power, protection, guidance might be with me in all that I do. The last request of Jabez is found there at the end of verse 10, where he says that thou mayest keep me from harm, and that it may not pain me. Some Bibles translate the phrase that thou wilt keep me from evil, meaning the evil of sin. So what Jabez is praying for here really is that the Lord would keep him from the evil of sin and from the consequences that sin brings, that those consequences may not pain me. Sin always has the pain of its consequences. So there are really two things that Jabez is praying for here. First, that you would keep me from the evil of sin, and you would keep me from the consequences, the pain that that sin brings. Many people would pray for the second thing. Save me from the consequences of my sin, but don't save me from my sin. Jabez is praying for both. He uses his own word, his own name here at the end of the phrase. He says that it may not pain me, that it may not Jabez me, that my name may not become a reality in my own experience in my life. So this is the great burden that he has here, that the Lord would keep him from sin, from his own sin, from the sins of other men and the evil consequences that the sins of other men can often bring upon us. He is really praying the sixth prayer of the Lord's prayer, sixth petition of the Lord's prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It is a recognition. I am living in a sinful world. There is sin within me. There is sin around me. There is the evil one who would pursue me and deceive me. And I am weak. And I am in this constant danger, and so I need divine grace and power to be kept from sin and from all of its painful consequences that it brings upon me. Jesus said, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. David prayed in Psalm 19 and verse 13. He said, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins, and let them not rule over me. He prayed in Psalm 119, establish my footsteps in thy word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. That's what Jabez is praying for here. That thou would keep me from the evil of sin, and that it may not bring its painful consequences upon me. The Hebrew language is in the form of a vow, in which the first part of a vow is that if you will do this, then I will do this other thing. And so the form of the word, the form of the prayer here is that Jabez is making a vow. He's saying to the Lord, if the Lord will do these things for me. There's the first part of the vow, and then the second part of the vow is, this is what I will do. But he leaves the second part out. So the first part is, if thou wilt bless me, if thou wilt enlarge my borders, if thou wilt give thy good hand to be with me, and keep me from the evil of sin and its pain, then he leaves the second part of the vow blank, as if God himself can fill in that second part. And Jabez is saying, whatever you desire from me, I will do whatever your will is. I am your servant, and I will fulfill your desires. The last thing we see here is the success of Jabez's prayer at the end of verse 10, where we read, and God granted him what he requested. Blessings upon his life, blessings upon his labors, his undertaking, his business, his conflict with the Canaanites in the enlargement of his territory, God's blessing of his hand of providence, his hand of guidance and protection was with him in everything that he did, and God kept him from many of the consequences of his sins and the painful results of it. A good prayer that Jabez offered, a prayer that is one that we may, if we understand it rightly, pray for ourselves as well. We've spoken at different times of the Lord's Prayer. As we've looked at this prayer, Jesus taught us to pray in that Lord's, in what's called the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And those petitions of the Lord's Prayer can be seen here in a different form in Jabez's prayer. If we set the two prayers side by side with one another, we will see how much they are like one another. And so no wonder the Lord Jesus granted his request. Because the Lord Jesus in heaven said, this is like the prayer that I will teach my disciples when I come down from heaven. So I will grant to Jabez his request. We have a couple of applications to us this morning as we close. The first is that we see here the willingness of God to hear and answer prayer. He has always been the God who hears and answers prayer. From all the way back in the book of Genesis with the Enoch, with the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the prayers of Moses, hear the prayers of Jabez, the prayers of the apostles and the prayers of the early church. He is still the same today. He has always been, he will always be the God who grants the request of his people according to his will. Job 22 and verse 27. Job said, and you will pray to him and he will hear you, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways. Jesus gave us the promise, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened to him. John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. And so, the great God of heaven is the God who hears and answers prayer. And may we always pray believing in this God. A second lesson we learn here is that Jabez is an example for us to follow. We need to understand a little of Ezra's purpose in writing this book of 1 Chronicles and in these genealogies and then bringing up this man Jabez. Ezra wrote the book, as I said, when the nation of Israel was returning from the Babylonian captivity. And he was writing here not just as an historian, he was writing as a theologian. And what he is doing in these genealogies is he is looking back over the history of the nation. He is looking back over the history of the nation, and he is seeing what went wrong and what led them into the captivity in the first place. In the earlier parts of the genealogy, he has mentioned some of the sins of the forefathers and the consequences of those sins. He has spoken of the sins of Judah back in the book of Genesis. When he sinfully married a Canaanite woman, the Lord was angry with his two sons and put them to death. And only by another sinful relationship was the family line preserved. Then he mentions Achan, who hid the idols in his tent and stopped the advance of the nation into the promised land until his sin was punished. And then he mentions also David and Bathsheba as well. So Ezra's point in reviewing the past sins of the nation of Israel is to show why it was that they were led into this captivity. It was because of God's judgment. Because sin always brings painful consequences. God does forgive sin. But we must never think that because we are God's people, we can do whatever we please and he will overlook our sin and we will be free from the consequences of it. It is not true. And that's what Ezra is teaching here throughout these chapters of these genealogies. And then he comes to a man like Jabez. And he is saying here, this is the way that we should go. Here is a good and righteous man. A man of faithfulness, a man of prayer to the great God of heaven, a man who walks in his ways. Sin has its consequences, but so there are consequences of blessing upon a man like Jabez. And Ezra is saying, let us turn from those sinful ways of our forefathers and let us walk in the ways of Jabez, who was so honorable. And this is the way of blessing. To be like him, to follow his example, and to pray as he prayed. The same thing is true for us today at all times. This is the way of blessing. For each one of us individually, and for the church and the kingdom of God in general, to do as Ezra did. Our last point this morning is that Jabez's prayer will be answered in all of its fullness in the world to come, for him and for all believers. In the fullest possible way, unsearchable blessings will be given in the heavenly kingdom. That thou would bless me indeed. The highest blessing is to be brought into his eternal kingdom. That thou would enlarge my borders, and all the land of the new heavens and the new earth will be given to us in our inheritance to come. And thy hand would be with me, thy presence will be with me, and so it will be as we are before his throne in heaven. And that you would keep me from the evil of sin and from its consequences, and so we will be set free from sin forever and all of its consequences in that kingdom. So God granted to Jabez his request, and he has granted it to him and to all of his people, this request in all of its eternal fullness, in the new heavens and the new earth. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the great mercy, the blessings, the grace that you bestow freely upon your people. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for such great mercy and kindness and blessing upon us. Help us to always cry to you, our great Heavenly Father in heaven, and pour out our hearts to you, and know that you do hear the prayers of your people. Thank you for your blessing upon your servant Jabez, and help us to walk and follow his example. We pray that you would bless your word to us now this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.